Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Awilco Drilling PLC's Q1 presentation. My name is Abby, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected directly to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Jon Brice to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby, and welcome to today's Awilco Drilling Q1 presentation. I'm Jon Brice. I'm Awilco Drilling CEO, and with me on the call today is Ian Wilson, our CFO. We'll give you some information on our Q1 results and also some developments in the company which happened in the last quarter. For the format for the call, basically is we're gonna follow the Q1 presentation, which is actually on Awilco Drilling's website under the IR section. I'll be referring to page numbers for that presentation as we go forward if you're following it. Okay, onto the bones of it. What we're gonna do is look at some highlights from the quarter. We'll talk about the Q1 numbers in a bit more detail, and Ian will walk through those. I'll give you some feedback on operations. We'll talk quite a lot about the market, the U.K. and Norway. We'll do a summary, and then we'll do a formal Q&A at the end. Highlights then, which is slide five, if you have the presentation. The five highlights, the main areas of activity during the quarter then. Firstly, Awilco Drilling, late February, early March, undertook a private placement to raise $65 million, and that had significant interest and oversubscription. That took place at the start of the quarter. $65 million was raised in new equity. Also, what happened during the quarter is Awilco Drilling signed a contract with Keppel FELS of Singapore, and this contract followed a long period of negotiations and an LOI. This contract was to order one new CS60 Eco mid-water rig. This is a harsh environment unit for the North Sea. As well as placing an order within this contract for one new rig, it also included options for three independent additional rigs as in options. A big contract signed then in Q1. Also during the quarter, Awilco Drilling announced a dividend of $0.20 from an EPS of $0.62 in respect to the quarter. That was achievable because of the results from the quarter with revenue of $34.1 million, EBITDA of $24 million, and a net profit of $19.1 million, all derived from our WilPhoenix rig working for Apache. The final highlight from the quarter, very good cost control. Our Q1 OpEx, our average OpEx for the WilPhoenix, was $77,600 per day. Okay, moving on from the highlights, we're gonna go into the detail a little bit more of the contract that we signed. If you have the presentation, we're gonna now go through slide six, seven, and eight. Slide six then, essentially, there's been a change, a big change, and a change which has transformed the company. This change really is then the new build program, and this is the ordering of one new harsh environment mid-water semi and independent options for three more. I'd say the options are independent because we can go for the first one, not the last two. We can go for the middle one, not the first or the last. If there's any kind of version of those options, there's a lot of flexibility built in there. The fleet is expanding. That's one change. The type of rig is changing. That's another change. We're going from our workhorse third generation to the newest technology. We're also making another change in our operating area. Previously, we've been focused on the U.K. side of the North Sea, and now we're very firmly focused on both sides of the North Sea, Norway and the U.K. If we look at the deal that sits behind these rigs, we're onto slide seven now. It's a really good deal because it's a really clever deal. and it's been leveraged on a low point in the construction cycle. And the deal's made up of three parts, essentially: the price, terms, and what are called the extra bits. So if I think about, if I explain what sits behind the deal of our new build rigs, the pricing then per unit, the pricing has been agreed at $425 million for the finished rig. It's a very, very attractive price. We've spent a long time negotiating. We engaged with a lot of yards. We quoted a lot of yards. And Keppel Fells represents a quality yard and a really good quality product for a very attractive price. So $425 million, a very, very attractive price. The terms that go along with that, very interesting. 10% upfront payment, and for the first rig, we've made that payment. The second payment is in 24 months' time, and then the balance, the 80%, is on delivery. So it's a very low cost of entry to this project. And I should say that the deposit and the second payment are both non-recourse. Over and above that, then, we talked about the independent options and the flexibility that we have with that. And then also, in addition to the very attractive price and terms, with some extra bits that we've negotiated into the contract, and those are the main one being the Sleeping Beauty provision, that there is a three-year delivery, but should we decide to place the rig on hold, we can do that, and we can take it up to 1 year later. So that gives us a lot of flexibility. And with the 10% down payment, that really is a low entry to this project. And so with 3 years to build and potentially one more year in terms of Sleeping Beauty, that gives the company a lot of time to secure contract and a lot of time to secure financing. So a lot of flexibility there. So in summary then, the deal that sits behind the rigs then, low risk, low cost of entry, flexibility and optionality. Okay, on to slide 8. Talking about the rig itself, we believe this is a different kind of rig. This is a different rig to what's operating in the North Sea at the moment, either side. This is a true midwater rig, which has been specifically designed for midwater. It's not a deep water rig coming into midwater. It's not an old rig trying to be the most efficient rig in the North Sea. This is an extremely efficient rig specifically built for the midwater. And for that reason, we believe it's the optimum design for this environment, and for that reason, we believe it's going to be a top pick with customers. So how did we design it? Well, we used our own experience. We used a lot of feedback from the rig designer. We used a lot of feedback from equipment manufacturers, and we also spoke to customers, and we've come up with what we believe is the optimum semi-sub for harsh environment midwater operations, and it differentiates itself from peers. And the main differentiators then, lowest environmental footprint from floaters in the North Sea. It has enhanced operational efficiency and safety performance. It'll have reduced operating costs for both the rig owner and the operator. It'll have the latest design and technology. And a lot of this tech, which is part of the rig deliverable design, has not been previously available. And it's not even available in some of the recent stranded assets which have been sold on. And the rig's also targeted at the Norwegian continental shelf, the UK, the Norwegian continental shelf, including the Barents. So for these reasons, we believe this is a very attractive rig to customers, and as such, it will be very much a top pick. Okay, slide 9. One last bit of feedback on the technical parts of the rig. The Moss CS60 then, really does represent a game changer in terms of drilling design, technology, and performance. And there are three big areas which stand out to differentiate itself. One is a new kind of power system. Because it's a moored rig with thruster assist and not a large DP rig, it uses a smaller number of engines. It uses smaller engines, and it uses them more efficiently. Engines working in tandem with battery power, a hybrid system, if you like. So a smaller number of small engines running very efficiently, topping up batteries and then using battery power when required. And that delivers a reduction in cost if you compare a deep water rig working on DP, and we can quantify that roughly about, on an apples for apples, in the region of 20 tons a day of diesel, which could transfer into as much as $20,000 to $25,000 a day in fuel costs. And that fuel cost is usually borne by the customer. So different type of engines, smaller engines, working more efficiently with batteries. So there's a big game changer there, and that's a big reduction in cost for the customer. Another game changer is digitalization, and this is a buzzword which is used to describe technology which brings drilling equipment together with downhole information, which allows real-time monitoring of well activity, which allows the customer to make faster and better decisions, and that helps the customer reduce the risks of well operations. So that's a very attractive feature to customers. It hasn't been available in rigs before, and we know the customers in Norway especially have said that this is a must-have, not a nice-to-have going forward on rigs. And then finally, our maintenance system on the rig. It's a different kind of maintenance. It's using condition monitoring, so equipment speaks to software, which then dictates a maintenance routine. That's a different way of rigs working or undertaking maintenance, and that helps to reduce operational risk and overall costs. So there's three game changers there over and above all of the other factors I talked about in the previous slide. So we're very, very pleased with this design, and initial feedback is extremely positive. So on to slide 10 then, if you're still on the presentation, and that says, what else are we doing? Well, we've been pretty busy with this contract, but also we have now been building the project team, because the project has started. It started when we signed the contract in March, which means the rig will arrive 3 years from March in 2021. We will be cutting steel later in the year. We have appointed the senior project team, and we are now putting together the on-site project team. So that's started. In addition, we've also started our marketing activities. We've engaged with the UK and Norwegian operators, and initial feedback has been very positive. They're very interested in this rig, especially the features I talked about. And also, because these rigs are pan-North Sea, they're Norway and UK, we are now starting to build up a presence on the ground in Norway. So that's another thing we started to do. So quite a lot there about the new build rigs. But what we'll do is we'll kind of go back to the Q1 numbers, and I'll get Ian to walk through the income statement and the balance sheet of Q1, and then we'll go back to the operational update. So Ian,
you okay? Thanks, John. Yes, the Q1 2018 income statement. So for the quarter, contract revenue of $33.8 million was earned. And that's equivalent to a revenue efficiency of 98%, which is very positive considering these are predominantly winter months. So good revenue efficiency indeed. The rig operating expenses of $7.2 million, and that comprises, as was mentioned earlier, $77,600 for the Will Phoenix, and Will Hunter in cold stack mode is running at approximately $2,600 a day, and both are in line or slightly better than guidance. The G&A expense of $2.8 million includes $600,000 in respect of an adjustment to the LTIP provision resulting from the increase in the share price, and depreciation of $3.4 million is in line with the prior quarter. So total operating profit of $20.6 million. During the quarter, interest income of $550,000 was earned, and that's principally due to cash on deposit over the course of the quarter, and interest expense of $1.6 million relating to the interest on the bond that we have. Profit before tax, $19.8 million, relatively low tax expense of $700,000, resulting in net profit of $19.1 million. And that equates to the earnings per share on a weighted average basis of 62 cents. And bearing in mind that we did have an increase in the number of shares effective 27th of March, so we increased the number of shares by 17.6 million. So this EPS is on a weighted average basis. Onto the balance sheet, rigs, machinery, and equipment. The principal movement in the quarter was the deposit paid in respect of the new builds of $42.5 million. and trade and other receivables of 73.8 million. That includes a receivable in respect of the proceeds from the private placement. So the net amounts included in trade and other receivables in respect of that is 64 million. Prepayments and accrued revenue is 13.2, principally in respect of the March day rate revenue with Apache. And since the end of the quarter, both these amounts have effectively been transferred into cash. The cash balance at the end of the quarter, 92.5, and the current tax asset there of 9.9. So total assets, 409.6. Paid in capital of 194 million. That includes the increase in the share capital of 64 million. And retained earnings, just 114. The long-term interest-bearing debt of 80 million, plus the current long-term portion is the total outstanding bond. And since the quarter, we've repaid a 5 million principal plus related interest. So total equity and liabilities of 409.6. I did mention, obviously, about the share issue that has taken place. There's also a further repair issue, which is in process right now. So the status of that is that the prospectus is currently with the Norwegian Financial Services Authority for review, and the target timeline is to have that approved by our board by the end of May. Shares issued, 1.4 million shares issued, and then listed approximately by the 15th of June.
Okay, thanks, Ian. Right, on to the operational updates. So we're on to slide 15, if you still have the presentation. And this is looking at Awilco Drilling's fleet status. So the Will Hunter and the Will Phoenix. The Will Hunter is currently cold stacked in Invergordon. It is an option in the future. We guide about $1 million a year in terms of cost, but we're actually currently coming in a little bit under that. But it's a watching brief. We continue to watch the market, and it's an option in the future, cold stacked. Will Phoenix, then, it has actually completed its contract with Apache, and now it's into Invergordon as well, sitting alongside the Will Hunter. We have an LOI in place for some new work, which starts on the 1st of September with an undisclosed customer, and we're in the very final stages of turning that LOI into the contract, so hopefully we can come back very soon and tell you that's done. The contract is framed at the moment is, the LOI is framed at the moment is for 450 days of work. So that's a very, very useful backbone contract, certainly in the short term. From now until the 1st of September, then, the rig will be hot stacked. It'll be fully crewed, and it will be running on the same OPEX level as we do when we're operational. The reason being is we're preparing for the new customer. We're also keeping it fully crewed because there is a small chance of some summer work. The good news in that respect is that we are the only hot-stacked rig in the North Sea at the moment, so if any of these opportunities materialise, then we're in a very good position. So at the moment, the Will Phoenix has just come in. We've got 4 months ahead of ourselves, hot-stacked in Invergordon. We can do a short-term contract if we can agree one and find one, and other than that, we're preparing for the new contract, which starts on the 1st of September. So that is the Awilco Drilling fleet status. On to slide 16 now. Some words on what we actually did during the 3 months, the Q1. A really good picture. Operational uptime, stellar performance, 99.5%. And during the quarter and subsequent to that, when we completed the contract with Apache, very positive customer feedback, and we hope to work with Apache again sometime in the future. Another achievement for operations, the company was recognized for a couple of reasons. One, independent body, APITO, accredited Awilco Drilling's competence management system. This took a year of auditing and preparation, so this demonstrates the quality of our competence management system, and that is very useful in terms of marketing Awilco Drilling to prospective customers. Also, during the quarter. Awilco Drilling received the IADC, the International Association of Drilling Contractor North Sea Chapter. We received the Chairman's Award 2017 for the best safety performance for a floating rig in the North Sea. So a great recognition of the Will Phoenix's performance during 2017. And we were given that award just a month ago. The next bullet then says contract negotiations with the undisclosed customer is still ongoing. We're in LOI, and as I said, we're in the final throes of closing that out. And then finally, we're still marketing the rig for summer work. We have 4 months ahead of us, and we're the only hot rig, so we'll watch and see what happens there. Okay, on to slide 17, dividend distribution. Yes, we've paid the dividend. Pleased to announce 20 cents per share being paid in respect to Q1. There's a couple of dates there. You can see payable on the 22nd of June, ex-dividend 22nd of May. But there's a change, and there's a change which I'm going to spell out here. In view of the company's new building program, Awilco Drilling's board intends to review the future dividend policy. So we're flagging it. There's no more details to say other than the dividend policy is under review, but that is a change, and if and when something happens, we'll roll it out. Okay, on to the market then. So this is going to be page, what page are you on to now, 17, 18, on to page 19, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some macro stuff, and I'm going to dot between UK and Norway. I'm trying to give you the big picture here. So if you've got slide 19 in front of you, this one's titled, What Are the Oil Companies Doing with Their Free Cash? So if you have the slide in front of you, you can see two things there. You can see planned CapEx, and you can see forecast free cash. And we can see there planned CapEx in the blue bars there, gently rising from 18, 19, and 20. But you can also see free cash. The free cash, the level, there's a space there which really, really demonstrates that the operators are returning to positive territory. But that's in the backdrop of crude being in a healthy place. It's above 70, and it's been around about 70 for a while. So operators are obviously pleased with that. Also, operators have really got their costs under control since 2013, so that's in a better place. But there is a challenge there and for operators, and that is reserves replacements has become a big issue. And some people have called that the CapEx time bomb, but certainly when you put all these three things together, it tells you or it indicates that operators are better placed to invest going forward and they need to do something. So on to the next slide then, slide 20. And this one's titled, Don't Listen to What the Oil Companies Are Saying, Look at What They're Doing. And what this slide is trying to paint a picture of is what are operators actually doing? What are oil companies actually doing with the money just now? Well, there's a graph there which shows some spend. And there are two lines on the graph. One shows seismic spend on seismic information and data and activity. And the other one shows spend on rigs. And you can see that the two rigs generally follow, the two curves generally follow each other. And what we can see, the operators have been spending a lot of money on seismic, and that's definitely the increase. And we can see that the rig spend is starting to follow that. So there's definitely a correlation. There's a bit of a lag. But this is actually yet another positive data point and another positive signal in the rig demand picture. So that's an interesting snapshot. So we hop on to slide 21, another one on the market. And basically this one is about is there evidence of an increase in the North Sea, the big picture? Well, yes, there is. There's two graphs there, one on the left and one on the right. The one on the left shows us that tendering activity for rigs has increased in the last couple of years and really has in the last short period. And that's in the UK and the Norway, so that's a fact. The graph on the right shows, this is specific to Norway, and this shows planned activity in Norway. This is planned spend on projects and rigs. And we can see there in 18 and 19 There's a fairly dramatic increase on plan spend in Norway. So what does this slide tell us, the left and the right part? Well, it tells us that very recent and current and planned activity for tendering is all increasing and all going in the right direction if you're a drilling contractor. So that's another market signal. On to slide 22. And what this one does, this is kind of relevant to Awilco Drilling's new builds program, the new rigs, the top picks, the most modern technology. And what this one says is that modern harsh environment semis are preferred by Norwegian operators in the bifurcated market. When I say bifurcated, I mean that the semi-submersibles working in the harsh environment in the North Sea have split into sort of two pools, if you like. They've bifurcated. And we've got bigger rigs for, you could say, bigger jobs, hunting bigger rates, and you've got standard rigs for standard jobs with most likely more standard rates. And you can see the graph on the left-hand side is actually showing that is the case. It shows it in terms of how attractive these rigs are. And you can see timeline here from 2016, 2017, 2018. And, you know, the 16-17 still the tough years. And you can see that the light blue line represents the newer equipment, the newer rigs, and the dark blue line is the older ones. And you can see that the rig utilization is considerably higher in newer ones than it is in older ones. So what that tells you is that the Norwegian operators prefer newer rigs in a low market. On the right-hand side, you can see roughly the same timeline. You can see, but what this one tells you is that modern rigs or newer rigs will, as well as getting higher utilization, will also achieve a higher day rate. So what this slide tells us is that new equipment is preferred by Norwegian operators, and even in the downturn, the best rigs will find work and they'll still get a premium in day rate. So that's very, very positive for Awilco Drilling's new story, and it's interesting to see how it's panning out now with this hotting up of the market. Okay, on to slide 23. So basically, we've seen four or five slides now, sort of painting a picture, a theoretical picture of what's happening in the market, and big picture, UK and Norway. But what's actually happening? Well, we can see the graph in front of us shows day rates and contract utilization in the UK. What's missing from that is the actual number of fixtures which has happened during the quarter. This quarter we're talking about just now. And I'm kind of pleased to say that in the last 3 months since we did this presentation, there's been 15 different fixtures in the UK, and just one a few of those in Norway as well. So even though it says UK market, it's kind of pan North Sea there. So 15 fixtures have been agreed, rig fixtures agreed in the last 3 months, and that is a sizable increase to what's gone before. So that is a very positive data point and shows that the theory behind the market, which we've been explaining, is accurate. Okay, on to slide 24. You can see, what does this tell us? Well, it basically tells us that this is the UK fleet. You can see all the drilling contractors in the UK by name, and then you can see their rigs next to it. It tells you that we've got a very busy summer. We've got a quiet winter coming up, but we anticipate 2019 to get busy again. But there's another story going on in the background of this list of rigs, and that story is that this bifurcation that I talked about, this sort of upgrading and high-specking of rigs, it's definitely happened in the UK. There's two pools there, and we can see that the upper group is actually increasing. And what we've seen in the last quarter, we've seen four rigs coming into the upper pool now from out of region. We've seen two coastal rigs, Chinese rigs, enter the market. We've also seen the Diamond win a contract for their significantly upgraded Ocean Endeavour. That's for Shell. We've also seen the West Hercules come in as well, but we think that one's just temporary. So what we're seeing there is clear bifurcation. It's busy this summer. It's going to be quiet in the winter, and we anticipate it busy next summer. But it's really there's more of a skew now to the bigger rigs. And as we said, these are preferred by operators, certainly in Norway, and it looks like it's happening in the UK as well. So So what does that mean? Well, it means it's a good business case for Awilco Drilling's new rigs, but it also puts a bit of pressure now, I think, on the remaining holders of the vintage cold stacked rigs, especially ones that are cold stacked. By that, I don't mean that we're announcing anything dramatic with the Will Hunter. We're still anticipating keeping the Will Hunter as an option in the future, but other holders of cold stacked vintage rigs, whether it be in the UK or Norway, there's additional pressure now on those units. Okay, let's have a look, summarize all of those slides of the market, because there was quite a lot of information there to take in, and hopefully you followed it. But we're on to slide 25 now. So, increasing signs of market improvement both in UK and Norway. The global rig supply has reduced through a continued attrition, and that's really helping with the rebalance. And to put some numbers on that, 2014, it was about 165 floating rigs. Since 2014, 111 have been scrapped. The overall rig demand outlook continues to improve, and we've talked about the market, and I've had lots of different slides that give lots of different angles and lots of data points and demonstrate this trend, and we've seen real increase in tendering activity. So I think we can confidently say the overall rig demand outlook continues to improve. The next bullet there, 19 demand, we anticipate higher than 18 demand, although in the UK we it's still always a bit of a spot market compared to Norway, so we still expect a quiet winter. And then the final bullet there, as well as the drillers and the analysts, many of the analysts talking up the market and the return, we can see that the capital markets have really been engaging in this space as well, and they have confidence in its returning, and we've seen we've seen a jack-up play, a fairly extensive one last year and again this year, and we've seen a couple of semi-plays now, one just yesterday, raising money for floaters. So the capital markets are engaged and certainly believe in this space as well. So it's an all-round positive set of signals. Okay, on to slide 20. Which summarizes the whole presentation. Awilco Drilling then, well positioned to capitalize on the recovering market in the North Sea. We're transforming the company, and we've done that at the bottom of the cycle with really competitive pricing and terms, with lots of flexibility and a low risk investment in our new build program. We also announced a dividend for the quarter, but we have flagged that the policy is now under review. We have an LOI for a very attractive contract, and we hope to turn that into a contract in the very near future. The company does continue to evaluate growth opportunities very much on a case-by-case basis, so we may not necessarily have stopped with the new build program, but as I say, we have a very strict set of, as I have said before, I should say, a very strict set of criteria for acceptance of projects. And then finally, the market is improving. Okay, that was the Q1. What I'm going to do is hand back to Abby now and see if we can field any questions. Abby.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and would like to withdraw your question, please press star two. I will then retrieve your name and introduce you to the call, and you will be prompted when to ask your question. Okay, so we've got a question coming through from Lucas Dahl. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon,
guys. Hi, Lucas.
I was wondering regarding your dividend. Obviously, with the higher share count, you are spending a bit more of nominal dollars on it. And how do you think about that going forward when you might have some stacking time on Will Phoenix for the next quarter?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So there's lots of things to factor in. There's some short-term stuff and some long-term stuff. So the short-term stuff is Will Phoenix. We have previously flagged up that there was a there was an idle period in the summer, likely, or there was a potential for it, and that you know, looks like that's going to happen, though we're still marketing the rig. So that will have an impact, or that will certainly be considered for the next dividend. We've also got the fact that we've diluted, well, we've increased the number of shares, so that's to be considered. But probably the biggest one is that, as well as the new build program and managing that as diligently and prudently as we can, we've also got a new contract with the Wild Phoenix going forward, which is a great contract and gives us great duration, but it's not going to throw off a lot of cash. So we have flagged up that we will, or the board will review the dividend policy, and I can't really say any more than that because they haven't made their decision yet, but we're flagging it up to take in all those factors into account.
Okay, thank you. And regarding your new builds and looking at the market, obviously tightening, especially for the modern assets as you described, how would you sort of like to play it with the three options that got you a great degree of optionality going forward? Would you like to contract the first rig before deciding what to do with the options, or what is your thinking?
Okay, that's a very good question, and you're not the first person who's asked me that. So, I mean, this contract gives us, you know, maximum flexibility, maximum optionality. So we're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry to do this. We've got up until March next year to declare the first option or not. So we're not going to rush into this. If we get sight of a contract, we can take a view on it. If we think the market's going to get superheated, that's fine. We can take a view on it. But at the moment, we don't have to rush into this. And what I really like about the overall story with the options, if you believe that that we have done a very good job in terms of pricing these rigs at 425, and if you believe that that price can't be repeated, and I firmly believe that, then we've created value already in the first rig, which is ordered, but almost certainly in these options, which we have as well going forward. So I think one, it's been a very interesting deal and very successful deal in terms of creating value for the company, but two, with all this optionality and flexibility, we don't have to rush into it, and we can take a view in the market going forward.
Okay, good. And then with the modern assets obviously taking a lot of market share in Norway, how realistic do you think it is that some of the older idle assets will migrate to the UK? Is that an easy exercise, or is it pretty difficult to do?
Well, the older ones, there's no two assets are the same, right? So it's a very difficult thing to say that all assets are 25 million, 50 million, 100 million to upgrade. What I would say is that there seems to be an increasingly big gulf now between the age, so either second or third gen or their sixth gen. So you really have to now question if someone wants to upgrade a cold stacked, unloved asset and take it to the UK, which will require some form of capital investment plus risk, then for a limited life in a market which is going to be increasingly a larger number of higher spec rigs. So, you know, what are they going to get for their investment? Is there a better way to spend this investment? What are they going to get back? Today it doesn't look that great a choice, but if the market turns and really sort of superheats, if you like, and it can justify upgrades like that, then I think we're all winners because, you know, there is this differential in rate between mature assets and newer assets, and you can see that in our slide there for the bifurcation slide. So it's not actually a bad problem to have either way. But my gut feel is, the cash is still tight with drillers, and it's speculative reactivations are out of the question at the moment, and I think that bringing older assets from Norway, and remember they're second and third gen as well, those ones, it's not overly attractive, I think, even when the market starts to go, unless it becomes superheated.
All right, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Lucas. Cheers.
Okay, so we have no further questions in the queue. So please be reminded, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your keypad now. Okay, we've just had a question come through. And so the next question comes from the line of Arnott Madarich. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. Actually, I have three short questions. And one is just to understand better the booking of your capital increase. So if I understood correctly, that has not flown through the cash flow statement yet because it is booked in receivables and actually should next quarter kind of show up in the cash balance rather than in receivables. That would be my first question. Second question is the dividend, just what was just asked, will be paid for Q2 on the new share count. So the outflow, cash outflow, will be roughly $9.5 or $10 million on that, if you could just confirm that. And the last one would be, do you have any thoughts on refinancing your 2019 notes, obviously, because there is less than a year to run now on these?
Well, I'll start with the three, and then Ian can do two and one if you can remember them. Do you want them? Okay. So, right, refinancing. Okay, so we've only got one debt, which is really good, and so that's the bond. And it's something that we look at all the time. We do have a lot of cash. We could pay off, or we could keep it going. Maybe we can extend it, or we could extend it for a lower number. We have done a lot of work on this. It gets discussed all the time, so we've got lots of options. It's something that we're very mindful of, and so I can't announce anything today, but it is something that we're very, very, very mindful of. One thing I would say is that the company has got more choices now, because if you think about if we were two rigs and it was kind of, it was still a cool market, very cool market. There wasn't a lot of visibility last year of improvement. So it would have been tougher to refinance last year. But now, in a market as we've described, which has got real data points and a lot more confidence in it, and we have a follow-on contract for the Will Phoenix, and the company is a different place now with the new equity and a long-term future mapped in front of us. We have more bond options than we did before, and that's in terms of duration and pricing and people taking a view on security and all that kind of stuff. But as I say, we could repay it. We could get a new one for 5 years. We could do that tomorrow. We could do it next week. We're well aware of it, but it's I think we're in a good place whichever direction we take.
Okay,
to answer your first point regarding the cash flow, the private placement did generate $65 million, which was included net of expenses and trade and other receivables. That's also covered in the paid in equity under the changes in equity for the quarter, and the proceeds were not received until April. So that's going to impact the cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And with regard to the dividend, yes, 20 cents, the shares in issue at the end of the quarter was the original just over 30 million plus 17.6 of what was raised during the private placement, and the dividend will be paid in respect of that. And then in addition to that, the repair issue, which is at a fixed price of 29, that will be impacted also by the dividend to a favourable extent. So the cost of the dividend, if you like, will be in respect of just over 49 million shares at 20 cents.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for that.
Okay, so we currently have no further questions in the queue, so I will hand you back to your host to conclude today's conference.
Okay, thanks, Abby, and thanks, everybody, for phoning in to our Q1. And with that, I'll close the call.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets.